Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
So, Brad, it's March Magic again.
Yay! And you were so worried that it wasn't going to happen this year.
Yeah, well, they waited a really long time before they announced it.
Yeah, here's a secret for you. Disney makes money off March Magic, so March Magic isn't going anywhere.
Right. I wish I could afford some of those shirts, though, because, again, they have, like, blown the logo design stuff just out of the water. It's amazing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, so we're recording on Thursday night, the 24th, which means that some teams are about to disappear, and I think $44 may, well, no, not $44. $44 plus shipping and tax will probably disappear from my wallet, because I'm really kind of want that, what is it, the Adventureland Swirl, which isn't even a team, but they were like, we like it so much, we're going to make sure that this logo makes it too. That one, and then the Phoenicians.
What the heck is a Phoenician? I picked them to win, thankfully, but I don't have any idea what a Phoenician is.
Do you not remember Thank the Phoenicians from Spaceship Earth?
When she's talking
about the you know, where the language came from.
I do
the Phoenicians
remember that.
Who were traders. You know, you've got the boat, and then she goes, so when you're learning your ABCs, don't forget to thank the Phoenicians.
Yes. Wow, that is an obscure reference.
Except that it's obscure if you're not like into Disney stuff, but I think it's becoming the, you know, por favor manténgase alejado de las puertas of Epcot.
Yeah.
I think that's what they're pushing for, and I don't think it's a bad idea, cuz you know, it's a good reference, I think. So yeah. So that's where Phoenicians came from.
Okay. Okay. Well, yeah, I love just the creativity. I don't know who does these logos and stuff. It's got to be WDI, but whoever's doing them is doing such a great job. And again, I have to give props because they're great once more.
Yes, as always. So we've now finished the, you know, 32, and we're into the Dream 16. Because other formats of 16 might have some copyright issues.
Yeah.
So Dream 16 it is.
There you go.
And now some of these are like obvious. You know, Pirates of the Caribbean was going to move on. You know, Haunted Mansion was going to move on. Star Tours was going to move on. But there were some of these like, okay, so the Independence, which is, this was a weird matchup to me anyway, but Liberty Square Independence versus the Grizzly Hall Players.
Yeah.
Like, how did the Hall of Presidents win something?
I don't know. I picked it to win, but only because I'm not a huge fan of
Country Bear Jamboree.
Yeah, Country Bear Jamboree, so.
But still, lucky me. It's the Hall of Presidents.
It's a classic.
Eh.
Although Splash Mountain lost to Big Thunder Mountain Railroad.
I know.
So that was insane.
So that was the one where, you know, like I've been tweeting every day, hey, here's the March Magic update. Here's how our brackets are faring. Blah, blah, blah.
Which I'm very thankful for, by the way.
And that was the one where like it's like, okay. You know, usually sometime between noon and 3 p.m., both, you know, Disney World and Disneyland, you know, give us the updates. And I'm like, okay, there's no update. Well, maybe they're running a little bit behind today. And then it's like 9 p.m. and it's like, oh, they still don't have an update.
Yeah.
So it's like they let that one run a whole other day. And I'm just wondering, was it that close or something?
As if they couldn't believe it either.
Right. Well, but yeah, that one, like, we both had Splash picked to go all the way to the, you know, final four, or well, whatever we're going to call the four there. Probably not the final four. Once again, some terms may be copyrighted. but we both had Splash picked to go.
Yeah.
But at the same time...
That put a lot of red on my bracket.
Yeah, yeah. But at the same time, that was a hard pick.
Yeah. Mountain versus mountain is always hard. It was certainly I don't know if the Hall of Presidents versus Country Bear Jamboree was more difficult than that, but it was certainly difficult like that one. You know, they seem to be doing a much better job this year of putting attractions together that one's not obviously the winner. I feel like last year there were
let me present to you the Imagination Institute Dreamfinders versus the Space Mountain Blast, because that's going to be a close one.
Yeah. Okay, well, you can't win them all. But some of them, most of them, I would say, are much better than they have been in the past.
Yeah, so I have a question for you, because your bracket, my bracket is broken with one of the Final Four teams. Yours is broken with two, and I'm interested to know, the Progress City Gears versus the Tomorrowland Movers, you picked the Gears to not only beat the Movers, but then also to beat the... You picked them to beat a mountain.
Yeah, that may have been a slight oversight on my part. Yeah, I looked back after I posted it.
I don't know why you picked that.
And you know what, dude? All I need is the bellhops to go all the way. If the bellhops go all the way, I'm good. If the bellhops don't go all the way, my bracket is garbage.
Yeah, yeah, but why did you pick the gear? I mean, okay, you picked
because
the gears
I wasn't
over the movers.
Attention.
That's okay. So you looked at it and you went Space Mountain versus the Carousel of Progress. And again, now let's remember everybody. We didn't pick just because you see something on our bracket doesn't mean, or at least for me, does not mean that I maybe think that attraction is better than attraction B. It's I think people are going to pick
right
this attraction, and so. Right. Like, you saw Space Mountain and Carousel, and you said, I think Carousel is going to pull that one out. People love that. I mean, have you seen the wait times for Carousel versus Space Mountain?
Again, oversight. I hit duplicate on that layer one too many times, and I just moved it on down there.
And they just kept on going. So, but wait times, you can't even go by wait times because,
right?
You know, Expedition Everest beats Toy Story Midway Mania. So wait times aren't because, I mean, wait times, Toy Story beats everything.
I think, you know, with Toy Story, I've been thinking about like why that attraction has such a long wait time, and like why something like Expedition Everest or Splash Mountain or Tower and Rock and Roller Coaster and all those, because the way that Toy Story Midway Mania is set up, like it is set up more like Spaceship Earth or Haunted Mansion than it is like a roller coaster, you know, where you've
right.
got. You've got trains of vehicles, and that train leaves, and then you've got to wait for the next one. But Toy Story Midway Mania is very much like, it's not exactly a, what, people mover system? Or what is that called? Omni mover. It's not exactly an omni mover system, but it's close-ish. They come into the station pretty regularly, and I think what's ruined Toy Story Midway Mania is Fast Pass. So I don't know that it's actually more popular than a lot of these things, but I think the way that the Fast Pass line works in Toy Story Midway Mania really makes it a lot longer, like artificially longer of a wait.
Well, that's okay, because soon enough we're going to have a, you know, probably Fast Pass only line when they get done with building the new track,
right?
And then all of the problems will be solved. So
I really think it'll be a lot better if they do that.
I'm just going to be interested to see, does it actually lower wait times, or do you just suddenly have more people going to Toy Story Midway Mania?
Yeah, although if you have a Fast Pass only line, that'll be more Fast Passes, and then you'll have like a 45-minute wait in the Fast Pass line.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know. I don't know how that's going to work out. So yeah. So wait times not always the best way to pick this one. So yeah, I don't know. Our brackets are already somewhat busted. So let's talk.
So let me ask you a very basic bracket question, because
yeah.
I. Making brackets for anything has only been a thing in my life in like the past 2 years.
Right.
When you say our brackets are busted, like say the bellhops go all the way and win the whole thing, do I still like win that or because I picked so many losing teams otherwise, is there like a percentage thing? Like, oh, you got 90% of these right or 60% or whatever?
So as a general rule, and welcome to Brad and Jeremy talk brackets. There are actually a lot of different ways that you can score a bracket. I'm doing this based off of, you know, kind of the basic NCAA bracket scoring, which is since we're technically already in round two, basically, you know, every win that you picked the first time was worth 2 points. Next round will be worth 4, 8, 16, and then 32 for getting the one right.
So
yeah, it's, you know, if the ball hops go all the way, more than likely you'll still win. But it makes it a lot less likely when like half of your final four is gone, because that's 32 points right out the window.
Okay, so each pick is assigned a point value.
Right, and the point values become higher the further in they are, because it's the less likely that you are for that team to still be there and to win.
Gotcha. Okay.
So yeah, technically busted is your champion goes down, but your bracket isn't doing great when half the teams that could make it to the end aren't there anymore.
Okay. I gotcha.
So yeah, but looking at this, so now that it's Goats versus Holiday, we still say Goats, right? Or I mean, we still say not, I guess technically we both said Splash initially. Now it would just be saying not Holiday.
Yeah. I mean, are you looking at my bracket? I'm not looking at mine.
No, I'm not looking at your bracket, but I know we both had Splash picked to go to the Final Four, so we both had Splash picked in that one. So now it's Goats and Holiday instead of Splash and Holiday, because we both picked Holiday.
It's got to be the Goats. Haunted Mansion Holiday will win against the Buena Vista Red Car Trolleys. It has to.
Yeah, how does it venture, you know, and that was the Disneyland side. So that would have been the Dole Whip one. How does that not make it in? And instead they go, you know what? The trolleys. That's what people want to vote for, is the trolleys.
But, I mean, Haunted Mansion has to win against a trolley because it's a classic. But after that, Big Thunder Mountain's got to win. And then it's going to be up against the Skippers. Big Thunder Mountain versus Jungle Cruise. Right?
Yeah, let's not forget that you... Okay, so let's not project. Let's just look at what's coming up. So,
okay.
Skipper Snowmen, which you had the Lowriders picked to win both of these.
I did. I thought Radiator Springs Racers was like super popular.
It is. It is, but it's not. But you have to calculate in nostalgia factor.
Yeah. And I did not. I did a poor job.
You did not calculate in the nostalgia factor. So now that it's Snowmen and Skippers, where are you going?
Man, I think the Matterhorn has to win that for sure.
Yeah, me too. Still got Snowman picked. You know, we both have the Voyagers picked. So we both have, or had the Voyagers picked to beat the Travelers, but now it's the Mayhem versus the Travelers. Neither one of us picked the Mayhem, by the way.
That was, yeah, well, cause
I didn't.
Mr. Toad?
Yeah, I like that. You know, from the nostalgia factor, I like that attraction, but I really didn't think, I thought, okay, you know, just Finding Nemo still has enough that it's,
right,
and that it's just going to pull the vote.
Right. That was exactly my thing, is people are going to see Nemo on there, and that's going to sway him a little bit, because especially since Finding Dory's coming out.
Yes. Yeah, but it didn't. It didn't. The Mayhem wins.
Right.
So Mayhem versus Travelers, who you got now?
I think... it's got to be Small World. Small World is at least like nostalgic in a way that Mr. Toad isn't.
I agree.
I think Travelers.
I agree. I think Mr. Toad is just as nostalgic, but I don't think people are going to see it that way. I think Travelers is what they're going to see, so Travelers is where they're going to go. We both have Cannonballs picked. I don't see any reason to even talk about that, because we both know how that's going to go.
Yeah.
Coming up the other side. Now that the gears are out, would you like to change your pick in the Tomorrowland Movers versus the Space Mountain Blast? I don't know. I mean, maybe you want to take the Movers here. What are you thinking?
No, Blast for sure. Okay. I can't believe I did that. I'm looking at my bracket right now, and I cannot believe I even picked the Carousel of Progress to beat the Hall of Presidents. I don't know what I was thinking.
Yeah, so you did. You picked the Hall of Presidents. Now that you know who the Phoenicians are and where the Phoenicians come from, are you sticking with your Hall of Presidents pick there? Technically, it covers all of Liberty Square, but come on, let's all be honest. We think Hall of Presidents when we see the Liberty Square Independent.
Yeah, I still think that's going to take it.
Okay.
I do. I stand by Independence on that one.
See, I have the Phoenicians picked, and I really don't know who's going to win that one, but that's who I want to win. I want the Phoenicians to be the bigger pick over that. So, whatever. So we both had the Maniacs pick to win, and they, you know, of course, fall out. And I had the Miners picked. So I don't know. Now that I'm looking at Yetis versus Bellhops, I think I'm gonna fall in line here and go Bellhops with you.
Yeah. I hope so. I mean, just based on my personal preference, Tower of Terror for sure. But I think Tower of Terror is just a lot more interesting than Toy Story Midway Mania and Star Tours.
Well, but it's going up against the Yetis. But you would you would still call it more interesting than Expedition Everest there. So Ghouls versus Troopers, we both have. We don't both have. What is wrong with you? Really? You think Star Tours?
Yeah, I do.
And you still think Star Tours.
It may be wishful thinking because I want my Bellhops to win, but...
You just don't want the... So basically it comes down to you don't want the Bellhops to have to face Haunted Mansion in the next round.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you can stick with that and... we'll see.
You don't think
that the Star Tours is going to beat Haunted Mansion?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I think nostalgia plus a quality attraction beats Star Tours even with all the new stuff.
Hmm. Yeah, I guess I was kind of banking on like Star Wars just came out and maybe everybody's like super what's the good one? Bullish?
Yeah.
Everyone's bullish on Star Wars.
Yeah, I just no. I think Haunted Mansion can still pull that one out.
Brad's now, a real Star Wars bear.
That's right. There you go. Good job on use of bull and bear.
Yeah.
So one other thing that I did that, and I think I saw this actually on like a review on DisneyStore.com of the T-shirt for the Gracie Manor Ghouls, or maybe I saw it on Twitter. I saw it somewhere, and it was a really good point when somebody brought it up. Look at the logo for the Gracie Manor Ghouls, okay? And when you look at the logo for the Gracie Manor Ghouls, notice exactly which ghoul is front and center on that logo.
Pulling it up. Stalling for time. Spelled manor wrong in Google. That's fine. Is it the hat box?
It is. Now,
he's only at Disneyland.
Yes, yes. Let's look. Which side? Okay, let's go to the bracket. Which side of the bracket are they on? They're on the Walt Disney World side with the Hatbox Ghost.
That don't make no sense.
Yeah, so I don't know. Maybe they should take a fall just for picking the wrong.
Yeah.
And you have all the hitchhiking ghosts, but let's take the Hatbox. Let's take the... And I almost wonder, is that like a reuse from... I don't remember what last year's logos looked like.
Last year's was the Hatbox, too.
Ah, see? Somebody got lazy.
But I could have sworn last year they were on the Disneyland side.
I bet they were. And this year they moved them over, and somebody went, we don't need to remake that logo.
But who do you use? Leota?
No, I mean, Hitchhiking Ghosts. Any of them. There are three. Pick one.
Yeah, I just don't feel like they're iconic enough.
The hitchhike, are you trying to just be
no
contrary
I'm not
right
I'm
now?
Not trying, but it's fun.
I mean whatever.
They as a group are iconic enough, but one of them is not more iconic than the other two is what I meant.
I will agree with that, but I think that any one of them is iconic enough to be on the logo, and there's no reason that all three of them can't be.
Sure, that's true.
So yeah, that was that's a major oversight, and
it Disney, is yeah that's something that somebody like just missed.
Yeah. So anyway, so that's everything that we've got on March Magic. And we can now add like a little marker in the podcast for everybody who wants to skip all this March Magic, blah, 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 and wants to instead hear us complain. Well, I don't know, complain, whatever, about the new After Hours event coming to the Magic Kingdom.
I have purposefully been avoiding like information about this. One, because I usually am pretty upset about Disney finding a way to charge what amounts to 1.5 days of admission to the Magic Kingdom for staying after hours. But what is this all about?
Okay, so since you haven't been paying attention and I have been paying attention, basically what you're going to get is you're going to get your $150 will buy you a ticket that gets you in at 7 p.m. Park then closes at, I believe it's 10 p.m. And then from 10 p.m. till, what is it, 11, 12, 1 a.m., another 3 hours, you will be the only guest in the park, you know, along with everybody else who is willing to pay $150. And they say you'll have character meet and greets available. Big Thunder, the Fairy Tale Hall, Peter Pan's Flight, Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, Space Mountain will all be open as well. So popular attractions will be open. And you will also receive ice cream novelties, and Disney says select bottled beverages will be available throughout carts or at cart station throughout the park.
Nope.
So that's what $150 buys you.
Nope. Dude, that's okay. So if you ostensibly want to spend all day at the Magic Kingdom plus the night, that is $260, depending on, you know, because they do peak pricing now. So depending, you're going $250 to $275 to spend all day at the Magic Kingdom.
Right.
And night. And what about extra magic hours? What does this mean for EMH?
I think it means there is no night EMH during this period.
And there's no like holiday tie-in or anything. This is just like random $150 to stay late.
April 14th through 21st, whatever holidays you can come up with, I'm sure Disney will let you celebrate them during that time.
That rubs me the wrong way. I think for what amounts to 3 extra hours, that's $50 an hour.
Well, but you also get, you know, like what, I guess 3 hours ahead of time. Again, assuming that now Disney just says,
so yeah,
you will
okay.
Enjoy the last few hours of the day and then stays open for 3 extra hours at night. But I've heard reports of 7 p.m. is when they'll start letting people in. So, you know, you could be looking at 3 hours before close, 3 hours. That's $25 an hour, right?
Yeah. So if you don't have a ticket already to the Magic Kingdom, you're paying but even then, you're still paying $150 to go for 5 hours when you could pay $100 to go from open to 10.
Yeah, which is going to be more hours than what this is going to be.
Right.
But you don't have the crowds.
That's true. That is 100% true. And see, they're treating it, what seems to be like what they're doing is they're treating it like Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party, where yes. You get all these like add-ons, you get like drinks and you get all this fun stuff, but without the Very Merry Christmas part. Basically, they're saying like, pay us and you can come in and basically have no wait for anything. You know, because I would bet that the percent of people who are going to do this are like in the single digits.
Well, I sure hope that when they charge you $150 a ticket, that they're not going to open it up for anything more than about a single digit percent of people to even have the opportunity to do this. Because if they sell too many tickets, it's going to be garbagey, you know?
So when you were listing off the list of attractions,
yes.
Is that like all the attractions that are open?
And much, much more.
And much, much more. Okay.
So that's at least 2 more attractions. Much, much. Not just much, but much, much.
Much, much.
Yeah.
So we're assuming that most of the Magic Kingdom will be open for people?
Yeah, like, okay, so, like, Big Thunder Mountain's not on this list, but I would expect it to be open. You know, I don't think Country Bear Jamboree is going to make the cut. I don't
sure.
think the Tiki Room is going to make the cut. I could have sworn that...
Why not? Tiki Room would be awesome.
I'm just telling you, if we look at this in terms of what Disney thinks are the attractions people are going to want to see, Tiki Room will not make that cut.
But that doesn't, Tiki Room requires one cast member to say like 30 words total show.
Okay, but 3 hours, you're talking at probably at least, you got to have probably two or three cast members at least who are devoted to that. Mm. You know, I've heard Jungle Cruise will be open, which doesn't really surprise me. So yeah, you're going to have plenty of attractions. I think whatever's typically open during Not So Scary Halloween Party or Very Merry Christmas Party is going to be open for this. But now here's the thing. I said this on Twitter when this news kind of broke. I feel like I should be mad about this, but I'm really not.
Yeah, well, I guess like being, so one thing I learned from the episode where you put me in my place about being mad about that TV special, which again, thank you, because I needed it. But being mad about stuff like this is dumb. Like, I don't get it. I think it's silly, but I'm not mad about it. I just, this like $15 a night resort fee that they're talking about.
No, that makes me angry. Okay.
But like that and doing this thing where you pay extra to go to the Magic Kingdom after hours, which is ostensibly eliminating EMH at the Magic Kingdom, stuff like this, like they're totally, it feels like they're totally backpedaling on like, oh, all these value adds we give people who stay at the resort, they're backpedaling on all this stuff and trying to make it better for really wealthy people, you know? And like, that's what rubs me the wrong way is used to, if you were staying on property, which granted was nearly everyone there, which made Extra Magic Hours a lot less magic and a lot more just regular park crowds. But it feels like they're getting ready to backpedal on a lot of this stuff, and I don't like that.
Okay, so here's, and now I did specify when I said I'm not mad, as long as this isn't replacing EMH.
Right.
Now, if this replaces EMH, then yes, I'm going to be upset about it, because that's, you know, that's a thing that's been in place for quite a while, and if you suddenly start charging me $150 for EMH, that's crazy talk. But as long as, so right now it's a week. It is a week that it's taking place in April.
Right. But say it goes on for more than a week. It has to replace Extra Magic Hours.
It does at some point, but Not So Scary Halloween Party has never replaced. I mean, EMH still exists, but not during that time.
Right.
You know, Very Merry Christmas Party, it still exists, but not during that time. If Disney wants to take these little chunks and say, you know what, not here. We're going to do the morning EMH during that time. Or we're going to offer EMH over at Animal Kingdom and over at you know, Epcot and Disney's Hollywood Studios during that time. And it's these short little chunks of time. I just, you know, again, I'm never going, not going to happen that I'm going to want to drop $150 on this. But if there are people who want to, then why am I surprised or upset that Disney's taking opportunity of that money?
So are you saying like when they think the crowds are going to be the biggest, maybe they would offer this as a kind of a value add way to not have those big crowds? Like scheduling it the way that the peak pricing is scheduled, kind of like, I don't know, I guess a higher ticket price would mean they think crowds are going to be bigger. So doing it kind of in conjunction with that?
Okay, so to that, I would say a big nope.
Okay.
Because, and not to you, I'm saying to Disney, if they tried to do that, because guess what? During those peak pricing times, you know what else costs a whole lot more money? Your hotel room.
Oh,
and
that's true.
Your hotel room is supposed, you know, one of the reasons that you try to tell me that it's worth so much more to stay on property is because I get EMH.
Right.
So if you suddenly start cutting that out, again, at the moment they start cutting out EMH wholesale, we're gonna have to like really edit down that podcast, because I'm gonna go on this really long, rambling, stupid rant about how horrible it is that they are gonna replace EMH with something that costs $150. Because so I wouldn't be happy then.
So what if they started piecemealing this stuff out, like taking away the complimentary value adds that come with staying on property, but they also like cut the prices of other hotels by 30%?
Maybe, but the thing is, they won't do that. They'll piecemeal everything out and still somehow come up with a, you know, $30 increase in charges next year. I mean, again, Disney is a company, and
they're a corporation.
Yes, yeah. And they operate like a corporation. And I think to expect them to do anything other than that is just not realistic, I guess.
Well, and I always go back to what, like 3 or 4 years ago when Disneyland got slammed with that OSHA violation. When they were repairing Spaceship, I did that last week too. When they were repairing Space Mountain, they got slammed with like I think it ended up being like a $150,000 fine or something. And I read that they made that back just in ticket sales at Disneyland in like the first 3 minutes of being open. Like, so they make so much, like, yeah, they're definitely a corporation and they're definitely interested in making as much money as they possibly can and making a good experience, obviously, but
right,
and definitely the money.
And that's the thing. They're going to make the good experience as long as it continues to help the bottom line. And
sure.
You know, I think that to some extent we should all understand that and be okay with that, because that's what they are, and appreciate that they value guest experience as part of what sets them apart from everybody else.
But don't you think that they could actually, like, thinking just as a corporation, if they unbundled this stuff, don't you think they could make more?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But the problem is the potential backlash you're going to deal with when you unbundle it.
It's a much tougher sell.
Yeah. It's a lot harder to get people to go back to spending more money when you've gotten them used to spending less money. I mean, random tie in here, but I think it does kind of speak to this. JCPenney actually went through this thing a while back where they had this new CEO come in and they said, you know what? We're going to do away with all coupons. There will be no coupons at JCPenney.
Right.
We're just going to say, hey, we're offering you the best price.
Right.
And it tanked so hard because everybody's like, no, I don't want to pay, because they had conditioned their consumers at that point to always expect there to be a coupon. And when there was no coupon, you somehow felt like you were being taken. Even if Disney, let's say, cut their prices by 30% and started piecemealing all of this stuff out, and you know, if you wanted EMH, you could pay this, and if you wanted your Magic Band, you could pay this, people would still get upset about it because it would feel like they were being taken advantage of, I think.
Right. That's a mental thing, I guess. You know, when you start increasing the amount of lines on your itemized bill, you know, when your bill becomes a 3-page thing instead of a 1-page thing, that, like, mentally change how it looks, how it feels to stay at Disney.
Well, and then you start running into things like, would something like Magical Express even continue to, you know, like, you'd have to figure out what the price point is that you could set it at where people would still use it enough to keep it full, to keep it running. You know, the same thing with, you know, EMH, the same thing with buying, you know, like, how do you do Magic Bands?
Yeah.
You know?
How would you roll that out if everybody had to buy it? Nobody would buy it.
Right. Everybody just say, well, that's okay. I'll take the RFID card.
Right.
It works the same.
It's actually easier because you just slap the card up against the thing instead of having to
move your wrist
in an unnatural way.
Yeah. So, I don't think they're going to unbundle it for those reasons.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So as long as they don't unbundle it, I'm not going to do the $150 thing. I think it's crazy amount of money to do it, but
yeah,
I don't fault Disney for giving it a shot.
No, I don't either. And again, I'm not mad about it or anything. It's just like, that seems dumb to me. Like, I just wouldn't do it on the premise that does not seem valuable to me. Because again, that is 1.5 days worth of park admission for what amounts to 3 hours in the park when the crowds are going to be less.
Yeah.
And that just seems dumb to me. So. All more power to them. You know, I think if I were staying there and there was never a night EMH at the Magic Kingdom, I might feel different because night EMH is better than morning EMH.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Because morning, you're still experiencing all the attractions in the daylight. But at night, like Splash Mountain at night is so fun. It's so much better. And like Big Thunder Mountain at night, again, so much better. It's so different, so much better. So I don't know.
Well, don't just do me a favor and don't book a vacation for April 14th through April 21st.
Oh, no problem. I will not.
And then you won't then you will not have this problem. So, or actually, sorry, April 14th and 21st, May 18th, 12th, and 19th, and then April 28th and May 5th.
Okay. So they're just days.
Yeah.
They're just days.
So there's probably going to be EMH in the middle of all this.
Right. See, I guess the way that you said it before sounded like it was a range, like it was weeks.
Well, here's the, you know, when Disney says special event, April 14th, dash April 20th, like last time I checked, dash meant range.
That's a week.
And then it says call today to purchase your tickets, April 28th and May 5th from 10 a.m. to or 10 p.m. to 1 a.m., April 14th and 21st, and May 18th, 12th, and 19th from 11 p.m. to 2 a.m. I can't be held responsible for the Disney website hiding stuff from me.
Yeah, no, that's a copy editor mistake. Somebody should have caught that. A dash means through.
Yeah.
An ampersand means and.
Yeah. So anyway, nobody call me out. I did finally fix this issue. And the moral of the story is that Jeremy and I are still cheapskates.
That'll about do it for this week's episode. You can follow us on Twitter at MTM Podcast. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/MTM Podcast. And you can visit us on the web at missingthemouse.co. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. And until then, have a magical day.